Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology. We are three astrologers who love astrology and love to see how we can make this relevant to your life, relevant and useful. It is fascinating to us. And I am Heather Rowan Robbins, and I'm speaking to you from St. Paul, Minnesota. And I am joined tonight by...
Ann Ortley at my Bright Red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan.
And Mark Wilk is off tonight speaking about Neptune at the New York City NCGR chapter. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, he is. I don't know if he'll be joining us later or not. But yeah, he had a lecture.
Both of you will be there tomorrow at the
Open Center. Yep, so Mark is off talking about Neptune, which is, of course, stationing this week, which is our big excitement for the week. Well, one of the big excitements. We actually have quite a few, truth be told.
I know.
Yeah. But, yeah, he had a lecture tonight down at the NCGR library. So.
And he sent around a beautiful image on Facebook of a person doing an extremely record deep dive, free dive without any air gear, deep into a cave under the ocean. And I thought that was such a wonderful image of Neptune heading into Pisces.
That really is,
not
yeah.
There yet, so we'll
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that shift.
And,
And
Neptune not only stations, it stations opposed Mars. And tonight, Neptune is directly opposed Mars at 28 degrees Leo to 28 degrees Aquarius. And it's we're moving into some interesting time. Over the next few weeks, the Sun moves into a square to Neptune, and we're moving into the shadow of Mercury retrograde, because Mercury turns retrograde the day after Thanksgiving until December 15th. So we're just starting to head into a fog bank. It's like you can just see the wisps of the fog starting to collect around the edges, and it helps to notice now that we need to start following through on what we intend and not wait till the last minute. Begin Mercury retrograde habits of confirming everything we hear and following through on orders, on requests, on letters, on calls. So tell us more about what you see with Mercury stationing, because it's been retrograde for a long time, hasn't it?
Well, you mean Neptune stationing, right? Mercury entered its shadow on Saturday, so and Saturn entered his shadow on Thursday last week. So Thursday through Saturday, you were learning what you're going to be working with on the upcoming Saturn retrograde, which is a long one. That one runs until June. And the Mercury retrograde, which takes place around Thanksgiving, and then it runs till the middle of December and clears the shadow on January 1st. So the weekend, this weekend was really important for news, getting information, connecting, and understanding what the vision is. And then this week, Neptune stations, and he stations on Wednesday, and then Chiron stations on Friday. So we have the two big guys stopping in the sky, getting ready to shift. And what they've been going retrograde since for a while. But what the interesting thing about Neptune is he's leaving his shadow, and it's full steam ahead into Pisces. So we're going to now leave Neptune, because he's been within Pisces for the past 14 years. And he went retrograde on June 3rd. In Pisces, and now it's full steam ahead, and he enters Pisces again on February 4th. But when he's finished with a sign and he knows he's never going to station again, I always feel like he jumps ahead. He's like, okay, I'm ready to be Piscean now. I'm ready to conquer. I'm just so sick of this Aquarius. I've been doing it for 14 years. I want to go be Pisces now. So he's got this forward thrust to his energy where he really wants to conquer the world in a Neptunian way, of course. And whenever a planet like him stops, we have a few days on either side where it's very foggy. And today we had the Mars opposite Neptune, Mars at the late degrees of Aries, or of Leo rather, opposing Neptune and saying, gee, I think I want to argue with you. I want to fight with you. I want to, you know, and I know with me, I've been having all this lung stuff with Neptune. It's making aspects of my chart that are kind of crappy.
Water filling up your lungs.
Yeah, a lot of water, a lot of pneumonia.
And lowered your immune system. I think I just heard our
I think I heard Mark come. Yep.
Yes, yes, hello.
How was your lecture?
And how was?
It was good. It's very nice.
Very cool.
Okay, and we were just talking about Neptune taking its station this week and then heading forward into Pisces. What's your take on that, Mark?
Well, I
know you've just given that talk, but can you just listen.
Yeah, we gave some good thought to that. And, of course, Neptune is co-ruler of Pisces, so it's a planet that will be right at home. And I feel that a lot of what will happen is we'll see some big paradigm shifts. And we're going to see that anyway, because all three of the outer planets are shifting signs during this couple of year period. They're all moving into a new sign. So there's a lot of energy towards shifting. And in the case of Neptune, I feel that one of the things that will change is our whole model of science and the sense of scientific method. I feel that a lot of that is going to shift and become much less rational based and more intuitive. And I think we've seen signs of that developing. We're headed in that direction, and I think Neptune going into Pisces is going to bring that about in a large way.
That's cool.
And this week, you know, as it's turning around and beginning to move forward, you know, it went retrograde. It started into Pisces last spring in April, and it turned retrograde in June. And so some part of our looking ahead, our dream, our hope, our way of accessing our intuition, our illusion, that stirred up last spring and then got put on hold this summer. Well, we went back to learn something. And it's been, and now begins to move forward and will sort of be the dream for the next decade. One of the things that I'm seeing as it went back into Aquarius was we hadn't learned something about the dream of the collective voice. And I really see this, the Occupy Wall Street and Occupy, you know, everywhere, has been the Neptune in Aquarius kind of coming back with the revolutionary energy of Uranus squaring Pluto and reminding us of the vision and the dream of the collective voice.
Right.
You know, the voice of the people, of the dream that we could work together in a community and we could walk our talk and live a philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been an interesting part of the retrograde cycle.
Right. And if we look at Greece, they had Papandreou said he would step down, you know, to after he asked the collective to validate the agreement. He said, I'm cool with stepping down. You know, I negotiated it, but if that's what we need to do to go forward, yep, I'm in. And so it's a collective, it's the leader sacrificing himself or stepping forward and saying, for the greater good of the group, I will do this. And I think that's a lot of the Occupy Wall Street, too, is like, everybody's like, well, who's your leader? And they're like, we are the leader. You know, we don't need a leader. We're talking as a group. so it is really redefining what the vision is and the way it's spread with it just kind of all everywhere, everybody's doing it, noticing it, trying it. So it's interesting as a collective mass, you know, kind of jumping out. And it started with, interestingly, when Pluto stationed and went direct. So now that Neptune stations and go direct, it'll be interesting to see what happens to the group and where they go. So we also have a full moon this week.
I'm also watching some practical parts of that. With Neptune opposed Mars, apparently there were tornadoes today in Oklahoma, where yesterday there were earthquakes. And both earthquakes and storms and sea storms were part of Neptune was in charge of earthquakes and storms. And so Neptune comes to Taurus.
And there's an island coming up in the Canary Islands, and the image for the Sabian image is an island arises from the sea for the full moon this week. Yeah, the Taurus moon.
Tell us about that full moon.
It's a gorgeous full moon, 18 Taurus. It's trining my son. I'm really happy. I always get excited when things are at 18. And it is back to May of 2010. That's when the moon was seeded on May 10th. And then, of course, you had the test last of February when there was the opening square. And now we're having the culmination of the May of 2010 adventure. So it's a forward motion, and it's a visioning. And it's Taurus, and so it's Taurus moon, which is exalted and wonderful in springtime, and it's opposite the sun in Scorpio, which is intense and passionate and connected and related. So it's very emotionally connecting and relating time with the oppositions, because they really stand in stark nature and look at each other across the heavens and say, oh, wow, what are you doing over there? So it's for each of us, thinking back to what happened in our Taurus house in May of 2010 is very instructive. So, Mark, what do you think about the full moon?
Actually, I hadn't looked at it that much yet, so I'm going to listen a little and then I'll know.
Okay. Cool. And what else in the week ahead? Mars.
I just also worry a little bit about the full moon in Taurus, because it always talks about possessiveness, this full moon in Taurus. It puts the difference between what we're willing to transform and what our personal needs are. So, and our needs for comfort, our needs for coziness. So if you are supporting a Occupy group, it might be a good time to bring them comfort items, because it's going to be cold and that full moon in Taurus is going to call them to a warm bed.
Well, so they finally got apparently toilets downtown. I didn't realize they didn't have toilets down there. They finally got a porta potty. I'm like, really? They've been there for 4 months without a toilet? Because they were complaining that they were going to the bathroom in the sewers and stuff. And I'm like, they just got a potty. So, yeah, it can be basic stuff like a toilet. So,
yes, something a little bit warmer or something a little bit more cozy. But we may notice that in ourselves. You know, why don't we participate in our own personal revolution more than we do? And is it because of comfort? Or is it because of security? And how can we create more balance between those two so we can make a healthy and secure revolution in the process?
Right.
Because that's what it will take to make it, to not be an either-or, but really make it work.
Mm-hmm. Not an either-or.
So, Anne, would you like to give out the number for our callers?
Caller? Sure. 347-215-8881. 347-215-8881 if you want to call in and press 1 so we know you want to get called on. Some of you just call and listen, and that's cool too. We won't call on you if you're just calling and listening.
And we had some questions.
Mm-hmm.
Emailed
to us? Great.
Start up now. Did you answered a few of them? We had one, our friend who asked about house cuss systems last week.
Mm-hmm.
Had another one, and I saw that you answered it, but I didn't see your response. Was there something else that you think that might be a teaching moment for our wonderful people out here?
I'm just pulling up the messages on the site that are really more what's happening with the stars these last months that caused so much.
Not, what kind of time zone, what is the time zone process?
Mm-hmm.
And you answered that beautifully, and you talked about all the various different time zones. Nowadays, we keep the computers keep a very careful, accurate response of where, who goes into what time zone and where. And they are all over the world, but it is just a matter of kind of crunching the numbers now. And based that, when we learn astrology, we have to go back and take each time zone, each birth date back to Greenwich Mean Time or Universal Time in order to do the calculation. But it is interesting, you know, there's only so much we can do with very early birth times from the 1600s because the time zones are so peculiar.
Hmm. Yeah, well, it's interesting because it was a, you know, it was a reader who had written about, or listener who I guess had written and was trying to follow along and had different rising signs. So now we're in daylight savings time, and the site she was using was just, I guess, only doing daylight savings time. Not daylight savings, just doing standard because the clock shifted. But, yeah, we know that we're 5 hours from Greenwich, but when we play with our clocks, they do, you know, they kind of do strange things. And but you always have to get an accurate, we always, calculating manually, which, you know, if you've an astrologer that sat for a certification exam, you have to know how to, and in the old days before computers, you had to calculate all this stuff by hand, and you would take it back to Greenwich, and you would calculate the chart, where the planets were at the time of your birth, and then you would relocate to where you were born on Earth to see where they fell in your chart. Because horoscopos is the picture of the hour. We also have Mars going into Virgo this week, which is interesting, and it kind of is a, you know, a kind of an interesting time because the Mars in Virgo is going to be there for 9 months, so we have a long run with it. And I did, we did receive
the end retrograde back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we did receive an email from Lauren who wrote, but she didn't give her birth time. So she wrote, what's happening with the stars these last 2 months to cause so much chaos? But you didn't send your birth time, Lauren, so we need your date, time, and place of birth, and then we can look at it. And it was a question about her daughter.
Okay. And yes, please do send us the birth time, and we will look at that.
Yeah, we'll answer your question next
on
week.
On November 10th and in the evening, Mars goes into Virgo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wonderful analytical time. Be careful of your stomach. What's interesting, as it does that, it is moving into a grand trine with Jupiter and Pluto. So the grand trine by Jupiter and Pluto that is bisected by that lingering opposition to Uranus, to Neptune, and the opposition to Chiron. So there's something very intense about the healing of the Earth and healing of the practical process and healing of the material world. That I think is get triggered by this coming grand trine. And it could be the healing, it could also be the belligerence and the anger of power, of material power on the other side, the shadow side of that. You have Mars forming grand trine with Jupiter and Pluto can be the, you know, the banks and the powers that be and people that have money, the 1% might be start to throw a fit if their power is feeling challenged. So I'm a little worried about some wonderful, altruistic, irreverent, excited aspects coming up. And then this grand trine, which could be a transformation of power or it could be a power trip, depending upon how we humans choose to use it.
Right. Yeah. Mark, anything?
Yeah, that's nice thinking about that grand trine. It's an interesting setup. Hooking up Pluto and Jupiter and Mars is it's a very positive energy if we use it well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, bringing in Jupiter along with the focus and power of Mars and Pluto. So it's an energy that we can have a lot of strong, sustained, and focused power for ourselves and then also, you know, in the energy sources that we use.
Right. And it's a good time for initiating things that you want physically to have happen because it is Earth, so it's very much about, I want to make this happen. You know, I really want this to happen. So it's like, okay, push for it. Cause, and with that grand trine in Earth, it's very easy for things to kind of take off and really become productive, you know. So, and we do have a caller.
We have anybody on the line.
We do. We have somebody on the line. So here we go. Hi, 425. How are you?
Hi, this is Kay in Everett, Washington. I'm great.
Hi, Kay in Everett, Washington. Did you have a question for us?
Well, yeah, I'm looking at my chart, so I'd love to get some input. Can I give you my info?
Sure.
I was born August 20th, 1956, 3:02 a.m. in Medford, Oregon.
Okay. August 2, 1956, 3:02 in the morning in Medford. Okay, did you have a question?
Yeah, I'm just curious about this opposition I have of Neptune and Chiron from my natal sun Pluto. I'm hoping that that means I get to heal everything, my dreams come true. What do you think?
I love it. I say put it in the list and you got it in 30 seconds.
All right.
Sorry, my computer was messing up. August 20th, 1956, at what time?
3:02 in the morning.
Okay, thank you very much.
In Medford, yeah. So Kay has a Sun Pluto in the second house, conjunct in Leo at 27 and 28. So Neptune has been playing with you for the last couple of years.
And Mars.
Oh, yeah, crazy.
August 2, not, the Mars is in, I have her Mars at 23 Pisces, yes?
Mm-hmm.
So
Mars
right
is conjunct.
Oh, Mars right
yeah.
now is playing with her, yeah, yep.
Right on
yeah.
Sun and Pluto.
Yes.
So that whole question while Neptune opposes it. And that Neptune opposition is sort of dissolving your old sense of self and helping you be excited about the possibility of rebirthing the next one. But when I look
yes.
at the first things I would ask you is what happened in that first year of your life when your sun progressed and conjunct Pluto exactly? Do you know anything about the story of the first year of your life? Was there anything unusual about what was going on in your family or with your health?
I can't think of anything, but I could ask my mom about it.
Because usually with a Sun-Pluto conjunction that tight, it it's applying, which means that it was moving into orb, that sometime fairly soon within the first year of your life, when the Sun would conjunct Pluto, probably about halfway through that first year of your life, that around you was either a strange use of how people used power dynamics. They could be walking into their power, or they could be feeling a misuse of power around them. Or they were dealing with sadness because they had dealt with a loss, and that could have been a relative died. Or some other fear of loss was going on around them. That in that first year of your life, you were dealing with the question of why are you alive, and dealing with pretty intense stuff for someone born on the full moon or near, right before the full moon.
Mm-hmm.
And that that said, you know, you weren't all that good at small talk fairly early on. It didn't really turn into depression, probably, because your sun then progressed and conjunct Jupiter as the next aspect. Not for a while, but it still had that coming up. So, you know, you kind of look on the positive side. You can make lemonade. But first there was that sense of, do you have a right to your own needs? Because the group needs with that moon in Aquarius, the needs of your family might have taken precedence early on. And it feels like there's something with that Neptune opposition that is bringing up some of those same questions about what's your right to be. You know, as Anne said, it's been sitting on you for 2 years, and sort of dissolving your old sense of self and asking you, you know, how do you balance your needs in the face of the needs of other people around you?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the new self being born?
Mm-hmm. That just really nails it on the head for what I've been feeling as far as in the last week. I have a new, like, symbol that's come into my life every time I turn around, and it's the phoenix rising out of the ashes.
Right.
That's beautiful, isn't it, Anne?
Which is a very apt one for your chart, yeah.
Yeah.
Very apt one.
And
really
I am definitely, the whole why am I here thing has, like, I feel like it has plagued me all of my life, and definitely in the last couple of years.
I would really go back and get some history on what was going on in the family and around the family. It could have been that the family was holding hands, dealing with something around you, or it could be you know, memories that the family was clearing, it didn't necessarily mean something they were going through right then, but something that they were remembering and healing themselves. Well, just kind of get some of the history around you from that very first year, and you'll see why you've been plagued all your life with, why am I here?
Interesting.
But with the Neptune now heading into Pisces, your Mars is going to really feel much more able to take action. And also with Saturn down in your fourth house, you're back to when you were 26, in 1982, and you're kind of looking at starting a whole new major chapter of your life, because Saturn's at the bottom of your chart saying, let's build, let's grow, let's start a whole new thing. So there's a real new big cycle starting. And, you know, that's part of what Neptune's journey has been about, is saying to you, because he's at the same time he's been dissolving you and who you are, he's been softening up the foundation from where you came and saying, can we maybe shift and change this a little and come up with a different vision of who you are? And he also has been squaring more, it's been a little bit over for a bit, but he's been squaring Saturn, which is a bit of your fear of commitment. And so he softens that fear of commitment up, and he says, okay, let's dissolve some of your fears and let's dissolve your foundations, which can really feel like you're a whole new person, because some of the major structural aspects of your life have all been being played with Neptune. And because he's so important, if you look at your chart, you have all those planets at 27, 28, and your ascendant is 28, or when you move to Everett, it slightly changes. But you have, you know, that theme kind of has been coming up of, okay, let me dissolve and release this old life. And as Neptune shifts out, you're going to find all the changes that you've been working on internally are changing. Now the next piece with Mars for the next 9 months in your house of the mind, you're going to work on changing your thoughts and how you think about things, and perhaps negative self-talk if you use it, where you're kind of going to say, yeah, you know, I would like my dreams to come true. What are my dreams? You know, and giving them a little boost. Because you're also having your grand trine from Uranus, which is positive to the node of fate and to your natal Uranus. So this is a really good opportunity for you to rise from the ashes and be reborn. I keep flashing on the Harry Potter scene where the phoenix arises out. Mark, any comments from you?
Underscore the how nice it is to have the Saturn and Neptune influences happening at the same time, because it's a really nice way to open a window to come through. So the dissolving of structure and at the same time an ability to form something new. And with Neptune involved, be sure that you, whatever you're forming that's new, is based on what you really believe in. So spend a little time considering, you know, what are your real core beliefs? Like, if you could take away all the little things, what's really the most important in terms of what you believe in and what your ideals are, and build everything around those.
Make those that be the feels, new structures.
That absolutely feels exactly where I've been wanting to go. Definitely. Forming a new life around my values and my core and my beliefs. I think that's what I'll do.
Well, you're really ready. I mean, your chart is totally ready. And also new partners coming in the workplace or the work environment, partnering with your health. Partnering with your health in a different way, and maybe partnering with, because the grand trine for you that Mark talked about earlier in Earth falls in your house of money and what's of value to you, your house of work and health and habits, and your house of where you're headed in your life, your 10th house.
Yes,
so
you'll find a lot more clarity after about 9 months when you progress Moon, though it enters Aquarius, it enters Pisces in 9 months. It also clears Neptune soon after that. So within 10 months, you might find 9-10 months a real kind of healing crisis, and then more room to breathe.
Okay.
Very
wonderful.
Cool.
Farther ahead. We're at the last of our half hour. We hope to hear from other people in the future. Please feel free to contact any one of us for our readings. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking from Minnesota, and I have been joined by my wonderful colleagues from New York, Mark.
Mark Waltz, saying hello from New York City.
And Ian Ortley from the Upper East Side of New York City, my bright red desk.
You can see them tomorrow at the
Open Center.
Mm-hmm. At 6:30?
Yeah.
6:30.
And I teach through the Sacred Path Center here in St. Paul and Minneapolis.
And Mark and I are also speaking at the conference, the November Education Conference in New York, on the 19th and 20th of November.
With Ariel Gutman and Aslan White on December 10th.
Yeah, so there's lots of opportunities to see us in person, so make sure you do if you can. And if not, just tune in weekly. So,
okay.
Take care. Bye, everybody.
Good night.